Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian Parrish wraps up his verse-by-verse message in Joshua chapter 6 with a study he's entitled, The God of the Impossible. So let's turn to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
I just look at it because I have children. I would be crushed if my children sat around this week preparing for school and saying, oh, you know, I hope Dad's gonna get me that paper that I need for school and that pin. Oh, I hope I get a pin this year. And oh, I hope my dad's gonna get that for me. And I need some new shoes and oh, going to school. And I would be crushed if my children were worried about such things. Oh, I wonder if we're gonna get dinner tonight. Oh, I hope Dad's gonna get his dinner. Something's wrong. Something that I have miscommunicated to my children. I am their provider. Ultimately, the Lord is, but through me. They look to me, and actually, they don't sit around worrying. They just kind of come up like this. They come with an expectancy. They think I have deep pockets. It's all filled with money. And then when I don't have money, hey, just write a check, no problem. Or go to that machine at the bank. Money comes out of there. Go get some. They don't understand. They just kind of assume. Or some of the older ones have called and they said, just use your credit card. So that they come with an expectancy. And how much more does our Heavenly Father deserve that? I mean, I have limited resources, sometimes very limited resources, but God has unlimited resources, unlimited wisdom, unlimited power, unlimited love, unlimited grace, unlimited mercy, and I'm worried, is God going to work on my behalf? I think somewhat it becomes offensive to the Lord if we've been walking in the ways of the Lord, and every trial that comes up, it kind of overwhelms us. Oh, is God going to provide? And we're just stressed out. We need to blow the trumpet. Hey, this is the Lord's victory. He's going to bring us into it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying create something in your mind and say, this is what God must do. He's going to do it. That's not faith. Now, that's a distortion of a teaching on faith. I think you say, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it, but I know he's going to bring his purpose and plan in the situation, and I'm expecting it to take place. I'm not asking you to go out and get a ram's horn and blow it by your boss. You're going down, buddy. God's going to get you. Whatever the situation is, but walk with expectancy. God is going to work on your behalf. Isn't the Lord deserving of that type of faith? Isn't it time that we kind of rise up to that level? You know, even with this property situation, I didn't know what the Lord was doing, but there's something in me that just said, the Lord's not done here. He doesn't treat his children that way. I didn't know what was going to happen or how, or even when. It could have been 10 years down the road, but I just had that sense, confidence in the Lord. Not, I'll admit, it wasn't a great confidence. It wasn't like, yeah, God's going to do it, but it was a sense the Lord's still at work here. And I want to face the next situation when it looks just as bad, just as devastating, and say, God's going to bring the victory here. That's the way he is. That's the way he works. That's the type of faith I want to walk in. One last point here in looking at faith in Joshua chapter 6. And this one is one a little bit more difficult to deal with. Look in verse 10. It says, now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. And then when they shout, that's when the victory is going to come about and the walls are going to come tumbling down. Now think of the plan. Each day they go out. Now they're told they can't say anything. Not only are they just going to march around the city and not fight and not even try and scale the wall, they can't even talk. So they just kind of march around. They march around the city, the priests are blowing the trumpet, and they go back home. Yeah, they. I don't know if Joshua here told them, here's what's going to happen. It doesn't say that he did, it doesn't say that he didn't. So they may have only got instruction that day. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to march around the city. And they probably thought, okay, then what are we going to do? Oh, then at night, yeah, we'll go back and sneak in and we'll get them when they're not ready. No, we're just going to march around the city and come back. And you guys can't say anything. Now, okay, we'll do that. The next day, we're going to do this. By the third day, if you're one of these people here, you're going to say, you know, I think Joshua lost it this time. Okay, he got us through the Jordan, but man, from there on, he's not making any sense. And all we're doing is going around the city, marching around, and we can't say anything. And you know how much people like to talk when they don't like what's going on in the church, right? You know how hard it is to be quiet. What's the pastor doing now? Why are we doing this? And why are we going there? And why did he make that decision? And God just says to be quiet. And for 6 days, they have to endure this. And the seventh day, they march around it, and finally, the victory comes. Well, I think practically, what I want to draw out to you from this is there's times when you're doing all that God has asked you to do, like these people did, march around the city, be quiet, and then go back to camp, and nothing's happening. Or it appears like nothing's happening. That's when your faith is tested. When you're doing all that you know to do, that God has spoken into your heart, based on what the scriptures are, and nothing is taking place. Those are the times when you just need to be quiet. And what I mean by be quiet is that you don't need to start lashing out at people, lashing out at the circle. Don't lash out at the Lord. Lord, you don't love me. You don't go, why are you allowing this to happen? That's where your faith is being stretched. And God just wants you to walk in dependence upon him and expectancy, even though nothing's happening. That's where faith kicks in. Although nothing is happening, God doesn't seem to be working, he's not telling you anything, that's when you need to walk by faith. And then added to that, I don't know if this happened, I don't want to add to the story at all, but you know, man's basically prideful. And can you imagine the people in Jericho, the first day they're probably like, oh, here they come. Oh, they're marching around, they're blowing trumpets, what are they going to do? Well, they're going back to their camp. First day, they probably think that's kind of strange. By about the third or fourth day, they'd say, hey, here comes the marching band again. I mean, they must have had some jokes and taunts at them. At first, they were a little afraid because they crossed with, but now they'll just march around the city doing nothing. They must have been filled with their own pride and self-confidence, mocking these Jews. And you know what? Oftentimes that happens spiritually as well. As nothing is happening in your life in that situation, the set of circumstances, Satan loves to come in and taunt you, condemn you. Then you're a fool, you blew it, you messed up, God's not going to do this, and these condemning thoughts come over our heart and minds. You know, I told you that as we put that money at risk and it went down the tubes, or apparently it looked like it went down the tubes, Satan had a field day with my heart and minds. Condemning, I mean, that's the Lord's. I take very serious the Lord's money. I mean, I pinch a penny so tight that Abe Lincoln's eyes start squinting and start bulging out. This was $50,000. That's a lot of money. And Satan was just there. You blew it. You messed up. And I had to fight that battle. And God wasn't saying anything. It wasn't like the Lord was saying, hey, you did right. You did absolutely right. Just keep going forward. It wasn't like he gave someone a vision or a prophecy saying, hey, here's what the Lord's going to do. It was just, I had to walk by faith. I had a sense something's going to turn around. God's going to work it out. I didn't know how. I didn't know when. But I just had to hold on to that. That's how faith gets you through those difficulties. And Satan is going to do everything he can to discourage your heart, to get you to walk in unbelief, because that's where the power of God gets choked off as well. And the Lord will just call you to walk by faith. Christianity is a walk of faith, day in and day out. And it looks like nothing is happening. Continue to trust him. Let's close with an Old Testament passage out of the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk's not the easiest book to find. It's one of the 12 minor prophets. You go by there, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Then you get to the little guys, Hosea. Keep going past Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Obi-Wan Kenobi there, Jonah, Micah. Keep going. And then Nahum, then Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is an interesting parallel with a lot of things that I have said today. The prophet comes to the Lord and he says, Lord, your people are acting wickedly. When are you going to do something about it? And the Lord tells him, I'm going to do something, but I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do because you wouldn't believe me if I told you. And the prophet says, well, tell me what you're going to do. And he says, well, I'm going to take this wicked nation, Babylon. They're going to come in and destroy nation. And God back says, you can't do that. That's not right. It's kind of like God said, I'm going to tell you. If I told you, you wouldn't believe me anyways. So he tells him and he says, well, that's not right. And then God tells him, hey, the just shall live by faith. But look what he says here in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. Because God also said, after the judgment's going to come blessing, I'll restore my people. I have a good plan for them. Just for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end it'll speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. That's the hard part, isn't it? Waiting for God to work. We don't like to hear the word wait. My children don't like to hear the word wait. God's children don't like to hear the word wait. We want to hear, I want it now, and it's going to be brought about now. Waiting is extremely difficult, but the Lord would say to wait. You need to learn to wait on Him. That's when your strength is renewed. And though the work of God tarries, wait for it. And so often what happens is that God will bring us to a set of circumstances and He watches how we respond. And if we get in the way and we try and handle it ourselves, He just kind of lets us, doesn't He? How many times have we made a mess of things trying to fix what we think is a problem and we compound the problem? But how many times have you actually waited on the Lord and you saw God's hand just kind of put the pieces back together? So He says, even though it tarries, you need to wait, because it will surely come, it'll not tarry. Then look over at chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, and this is where we'll close. And this is even more difficult when you're believing the Lord for certain purposes and plans and there's no fruit. That's hard. You're waiting and it's not even a matter of there's no fruit. Sometimes it gets worse. Sometimes when you walk by faith, your life gets worse, not better. And so the prophet responds to that, verse 17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. That all looks pretty dismal in a farming agricultural setting. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's faith. Rejoicing in the Lord even though these circumstances look kind of dismal. That's where faith comes in. And the time when God's not speaking, the time when God's not bearing fruit, He would still call you to walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So it was by faith the walls of Jericho came down. They walked in obedience to the Lord's commands to walk around the city six times, the seventh day, march around it seven times, say nothing, blow the trumpets, and the last day it's going to come tumbling down. God didn't have it come down on the first day. He could have. There was a length of time that God was testing them or having them walk by faith, teaching them. The same thing with you. Though it tarries, it'll come to pass. Wait. Learn to wait on the Lord. And in the meantime, it says rejoice in the God of your salvation. Don't white knuckle it. God's going to come through. Don't try and work it out in your own resources. Don't try and tell the person what they need to be doing. Sometimes the Lord will lead you to do that, but other times just to be silent. Wait on the Lord. Let Him work His plan. And His plan is far superior than ours ever will be. Let's look to the Lord in faith.
You've been listening to Pastor Brian Parrish and Solid Ground, a radio outreach of Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. If you would like a cassette of today's message, along with the completed series, call our office at area code 562-941-LAM. That's 562-941-LAMB. Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School.